is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for making Inside Douglas County part of your lunch hour, part of your day around the Umpqua Valley. Our conversation today, Republican candidate for Congress, Alex Skarlatos. Alex, thanks for being out this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me again. I appreciate that.
So first of all, let's start off. There's a lot of different things we're going to cover today, but I wanted to get your perspective, having been in the military, your overall thoughts on what happened, what's going on now with Afghanistan.
Well, Afghanistan's that was a total disaster. I mean, as someone who served in Afghanistan and someone who actually served at Bagram Airfield, we botched the withdrawal on just about every level. Not only was it rushed, but strategically, we probably should have evacuated from Bagram instead of Kabul. We basically just gave the country over to the Taliban, along with billions of dollars of equipment, helicopters that they're now figuring out how to fly, a bunch of M4 rifles and M16 rifles that American civilians aren't even allowed to own, but yet we just gave hundreds of thousands of those to the Taliban as well. I mean, it's bad enough when you think about all of that, but then you think about the fact that we left American citizens, American allies, Afghan interpreters, basically behind enemy lines that are now stranded there now that we've pulled out. And of course, you can't forget about the 13 Marines and soldiers that lost their lives in the last week of the withdrawal as well, which was totally preventable. I mean, it's honestly insane to me that it could have gone this badly when there's 23,000 people that work just in the Pentagon that planned this out. I mean, they knew that this was going to happen. This was a conscious decision either by Joe Biden or the Secretary of Defense or the Chair of the Joint Chiefs. But either way, I mean, we need some changes in the top leadership of our military. And even if the generals advised Biden this would happen and he ignored them, then the generals should resign in protest, or they should resign due to incompetence for letting this happen. I mean, this is one of the most shocking things I think any of us have ever seen on a military scale. I mean, and now it affects all of our foreign policy, and our allies are now looking at us thinking, will we be there for them if something like Afghanistan were to happen? And I'm kind of going on a rant now, but the worst part is we saw this coming. Like, we saw the Taliban taking over sections of Afghanistan. We did nothing to stop them. And then before we knew it, they were in Kabul, and we did nothing to stop them. And then we basically assigned them to do perimeter security for our withdrawal, and we saw how that worked out as well. I mean, this was just, I don't even want to call it a poorly conceived plan, because there really was no plan. It was just, let's get everybody out, give the country to the Taliban, and maybe they won't kill us all. I mean, it's ridiculous. You never evacuate the military before civilians.
I imagine this is a particular tough topic for you to watch, having spent time over there.
Well, I think it's hard for anybody. I mean, not only every American, but yeah, everyone that served over there. I mean, there's people and families that have lost loved ones in Afghanistan, people that have lost limbs in Afghanistan. And for them to watch this, I mean, I'm in favor of pulling out of Afghanistan. I think it was the right decision. It's obviously just how we did it that was just such a disaster. And we knew that the second we left, the Taliban were going to take over. And that's something that you just kind of have to live with. But again, the Taliban didn't have to take over while we were still in the country. And we didn't have to give the Taliban drones, helicopters, weapons, money, I mean, intelligence. They literally have lists of all the people that helped us and all the Americans that are still in the country. I mean, I honestly have no idea how this could have gone this bad. I would like to see an investigation into the Afghanistan disaster, because we need to figure out who actually is responsible, what Joe Biden actually knew, and what the generals were actually telling him to figure out who's responsible for this. Because, again, with the planning capabilities and how dedicated our military is, there's no way that this would have happened unless there was some terrible decisions made at the top. I mean, I was an E-4 specialist when I got out of the military. I am by no means a tactician, but I could have told you that this would have gone terribly wrong and I could have came up with a better solution. And I'm not even an officer.
How many years was it going back that you were over there?
I was there 14 and 15, so I guess 5 years ago, 6 years ago now.
And with Americans still on the ground there now, what do you think the plan should be from this point going forward?
Well, honestly, we've put ourselves in such a bad position. We don't have a whole lot of options left. There are some American civilians or ex-military that are over there evacuating some people. I think that the military should try to do something along those lines as well. I mean, there are still American military or American assets in Afghanistan. We're obviously just not talking about them because they're not necessarily military. But we need to use assets. We maybe should send some special operators back over there and have them try to evacuate people a little bit more under the radar, if at all possible. This is far from an ideal situation, obviously. I mean, the French and the British were evacuating their people while we were just hanging out at the Kabul airport, not letting people through the gates. So this is, again, a situation that we had plenty of time to correct, but for whatever reason decided not to. Beyond that, there's not much else we can do militarily to get people out. But if American civilians are getting people out and ex-military people are getting people out, then our military needs to be part of that as well and at least try to get whatever else we can out of that country, including our Afghan allies and interpreters.
Now, with all this going on, does that fuel your passion even more for getting into Congress?
I mean, absolutely, only because, I mean, someone has to stop this. I feel like we've fallen so far as a country in the last 7 months since Joe Biden has been in office. And, I mean, it seems like whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, I mean, anybody that served in the military knows that this did not have to happen this way. It's not, I feel like this should be a nonpartisan issue, if anything ever is anymore. We should be able to figure this out. And I mean, it seems like even under the Obama administration, even though, you know, he necessarily wasn't the most pro-military, he at least allowed the generals to fight the war on their terms. I mean, under Obama and Trump, we pretty much had Afghanistan figured out. We knew how to run the country with very little overhead. Again, I still think we should have gotten out, but why, when we can run the country with 2,500 people, can we not even control the Kabul airport with 6,000? None of it adds up. And again, that's why I'd like to see an investigation. That's why I think we need, I wish Democrats would hold Joe Biden accountable for this. I mean, there's polling out there that even what he did is incredibly unpopular among Democrats. I just wish they would hold him accountable for this. I mean, it's sad that it takes partisanship, like Republicans taking back the House in 22, to even think about holding an investigation to figure out who's responsible for this.
As you look ahead to 2022, what kind of interest is your campaign generating right now?
I mean, I think a lot of people are interested in our campaign. I mean, we definitely put the 4th Congressional on the map as competitive last cycle. We came really close, had a lot of great support. This year, I think it's going to be even better. We have a lot more people that are excited about our campaign. Unfortunately, due to the rising cost of living and obviously the Afghanistan disaster, there's a lot of people I think are going to vote Republican this cycle that typically don't. And not to mention, I mean, just running last time, it makes the second time a little bit easier. People already know who I am. You know, we have a great team starting out from day one, whereas last time we had to build it during the campaign. I mean, pretty much on every front, I just see a lot of energy and a lot of excitement for change.
We're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. We'll get Alex Skarlatos back on the phone. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Budget Lumber.
Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN, Lars Larson coming at 1. KQEN Local Talk at 4. Shannon Sebastian back today with your cue. Alex Scarlato's there, a little phone issue going into the break. Let's pick it back up. Alex, one of the things I wanted to hear from you on was some of the support, some of the folks that are in D.C. that are backing your campaign.
Yeah, we obviously, like you said, we just got endorsed by Kevin McCarthy, the leader on the Republican side in the House. He endorsed us last campaign as well, so we're excited to have him even earlier this time around. I mean, I think everybody, not only across the country, but obviously in the district as well, is watching this election because, I mean, we'll see what happens after redistricting. But this is the next most competitive congressional district in Oregon. Right now, it's kind of gerrymandered a little bit to keep the Republicans to only one district. But with us getting a sixth district, I think that's going to be a lot harder for them to do. So I think we'll see another Republican district, or at least it'll be hard for them to keep Kurt Schrader and DeFazio both in office the way their districts are, as close as they are. So we're excited on just about every front. And like I said, I think we're going to see a lot of people vote Republican in the midterms that typically don't, just because of all the failures of the Biden administration with the rising cost of living and obviously the Afghanistan disaster that we talked about.
Now, redistricting really brings an interesting point because you never know going in exactly where the lines are going to be moved. I have kind of done a little playing around on the map myself and could see a number of different options. Obviously, at this point, it's really up in the air.
Well, absolutely. And of course, the only thing we're concerned about is that really Democrats control it. They have a few Republicans on the redistricting committee, but they can kick them off really if they don't like what they have to say. It's not by any means bipartisan. And of course, even the courts lean Democrat in this state as well. So even if it goes to the courts, we're not super optimistic. So we'll have to wait and see. I would hope that even with gerrymandering, it would be incredibly hard for the Democrats to keep Republicans to just one district. But we'll have to wait and see. I mean, honestly, I think either way, it's going to be a great year for Republicans in Oregon. And we're excited to run against DeFazio or whatever district they put us in, regardless of how good or bad it is.
And there's one potential as well, looking at where the population growth has happened in the state, that the northern end of the district could get pushed southward, and maybe the south end get pushed farther into the south, maybe even ultimately encompassing part or all of the Rogue Valley again. That could put you and DeFazio living in different districts.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the problem, is there's so many situations that could occur that it's kind of hard to even speculate. I mean, like I said, we're excited either way, and we'll just have to wait and see what the actual map looks like and go with it then. But either way, we're pretty optimistic, and I think that Republicans across the state should be optimistic as well, even on the House, Senate, House side and Senate side on the state House.
How are you? How would you describe sort of your core issues that drive your interest in being in Congress?
Well, I think people know by now that the timber issue and forest management was kind of what got me interested in politics to begin with. That's something I'm still incredibly passionate about, considering we haven't gained any ground or done any better on that issue since I got interested in politics. I mean, fires are getting worse and worse. Last year was one of the worst fire seasons, I think, in history, or at least the last 100 years. So that's still a very important issue for me. And now, of course, with some of these national issues popping up, like the mismanagement of Afghanistan and the rising cost of living and inflation due to these massive spending packages that have been passed, even during the Trump administration, but especially under the Biden administration as well, we really need to get our spending and our inflation under control. So at least on a national issue, that's probably going to be my number one priority. And then obviously looking inward to the district, we're the poorest congressional district in Oregon after 35 years of Peter DeFazio. I don't think two more years is going to change that for us. So I think we need new leadership, and I would work at fixing the economy of the 4th congressional district. And that is partly tied into forest management as well, due to the ONC timber laws and how counties receive their tax dollars.
so much of how Congress operates is driven by seniority. You have to be there quite a while to get into the higher levels of leadership. How does a first-term House member compete with the impact of somebody who's been there for many years?
Well, I would actually do things that help the district, not worry about giant transportation infrastructure bills that are so partisan that the Senate basically goes over DeFazio's head and writes their own bill. We'll see what comes out in reconciliation. Peter DeFazio's bill is $3.5 trillion, which only a fraction of that is for transportation and infrastructure. So we'll see what comes out in reconciliation. But Peter DeFazio's bill is just, it's way too big. We can't afford it. We already have out of control inflation, worse in over 10 years. And if we pass that on top of it, I mean, it's really going to hurt the value of the dollar, and inflation is going to probably almost double. I mean, this is something that it's going to be dramatic for this country, and not in a good way. Even the Senate bill, which everyone considers is more reasonable, is $1 trillion, and only a third of it is for transportation and infrastructure. So even that is too bloated, and DeFazio is pushing a $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill. So, again, I don't think seniority means a whole lot, because if you're not if you're too partisan and you're not bipartisan whatsoever, the Senate is just going to go over your head anyway, because they know that they're not going to be able to pass that bill. And that's what happened to Peter DeFazio. So I don't put a whole lot of weight on seniority. And like I said, Peter DeFazio, I think the fourth most powerful congressman, just off the top of my head, and the sixth most senior, or vice versa. But either way, he's been there for 35 years, and we have the poorest congressional district in the state. You can't tell me whatever he's doing is working for the people of the 4th Congressional District.
As we've talked before, being a millennial, you have particular interest in the federal debt. What do we do with that?
We'll try to reduce spending, stop passing bills that are in the trillions of dollars, regardless of how efficient they may or may not be. I mean, the problem really, I think I've mentioned this before, is that both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, will take something that everyone agrees on, like transportation and infrastructure. I think everyone agrees that we need new roads and bridges in this country. And they'll hold that popular issue hostage in order to get all these pet projects and pet spending done in their district to help them get reelected. And that's exactly what's happening. That's why these bills get so ridiculously huge. And it's just, it's a colossal waste, and this country can't afford it. I mean, like I said, like you said, as a millennial, the national debt is something that's going to come to a head in my lifetime. And that's something we need to work on reducing. I mean, even if it just seems like we're kicking the can down the road, because the national debt's still growing, even under Republican administrations. I mean, this should be a bipartisan issue among young people in general, and it's really not, and that's unfortunate. I think we need more education on what could happen if we let the national debt and let our spending continue down this road. I mean, we've spent more money in the last year than in the history of our country. Like, this is, it's an insane amount of money.
And I don't have it in front of me, but I know there was something that came out today about Social Security being in trouble sooner than originally thought, just because of some of the aspects of the last couple of years.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Social Security is a tough one. I mean, I believe that everyone that paid into the system should get their money back. I mean, that's the premise of it. But we need to work on actually resolving and fixing Social Security. That's going to be a huge problem, and it's going to have to be bipartisan. I mean, there's older people that are Republican, older people that are Democrat. We need a fix that's bipartisan and that works for everybody.
If people want to get connected with your campaign, do you have a website up already?
Yeah, alecfororegon.com, alekfororegon.com, or you can reach out to us on Facebook as well. Either way, we appreciate all the help, and we're excited.
Alex Scarlatos, thanks for being on Inside Douglas County.
Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.